holding fast. This is the most difficult sermon I have ever given in all my life. And the reason is, I can't give you a reason, it's just the way it is. Sometimes some subjects are not so hard, easy to tackle. But however, brethren, I want to bring you the love of your brethren in many places. In my home ecclesia in West Newton, the co-laborers at the Dawn, your brethren in the Ukraine, and special messages of love from Sister Ruth Klein from Kansas City and Brother Phillips. A special message of love from Sister Nancy Brown from Los Angeles. And also from Brother Charlie Willis from Greenfield, Ohio. They all called and wanted a special love to be given to the convention. They were unable to be with us in flesh, but they are with us in spirit. You know, my dear brethren, as we entered the dawning of a new year, no doubt the thoughts and desires of each one gathered here were focused on the desire to serve the Lord in an earnest and acceptable way. The year, as in past years, will bring seasons of trials, will bring disappointments, and many experiences that are deemed necessary for the development of a character that is pleasing to the Father. Now, I don't know how you view this, but I think of this all the time. And the things I'm doing, the things I'm saying, the way I'm acting, are they pleasing to the Heavenly Father? And I think if we keep that in our mind, that will give us guidance and strength, and Heavenly Father will appreciate it. You know, how each trial and experience will affect each one will lie with the individual. Will the experience bring discouragement? Or will each make one stronger and more like our dear Lord? The year may bring rich blessings in the understanding of His plans and purposes. There may be more opportunities for service and helpfulness in the fellow members of the body of Christ. This service is not in the big things, so to speak, but in little things that perhaps are unknowing only to the Lord and to the giver. Perhaps a year may bring confusion, even uncertainty at times. Why such a statement? Brethren, we know that Satan is still that roaring lion trying to devour, and many times his ways are disguised, and they're very subtle. These ways make his instruments appear as good, even as reasonable. Which course will we choose if confronted in such a manner? With what conviction will each of us hold fast as those things which we have learned and previously been assured is truth? This heavenly treasure was no doubt given by and through the efforts of many faithful brethren. The decisions we make, the choices we make, will indeed determine the joy or the day and comfort and the peace we will receive in our service to our Lord. It will be the guiding grace in the trials of the experiences that surely will come our way. Brethren, think of the year that has passed. Did each of us gain spiritual strength and understanding as we went through our experiences, do we feel the loving arms of the Father about us as we experience a trial of faith? If the things we wanted to achieve in our life, in the line of thought, did not come to pass, did we accept the results as His overruling in our lives? You know, brethren, the narrow way is just that. It's a narrow way. The problem is sometimes we may get confused and think it's a broad way. When you're thinking like that, the trouble with that is the broad way is a broad way to destruction. It's not the way do we want to go. We want to go in a narrow way of truth and with God. You know, it's the right path for all who have made a full consecration, even unto death, to follow the footsteps of the Master. It is a path of self-denial and a path of humility. It requires daily much effort and grace to walk in it. And if you get discouraged sometime, I found in my own life, sometimes I get downcast or something. What I do, I start thinking about our Lord Jesus when He was here on earth and the life that He led and the things that He endured. And so when I think about what He went through and how He overcome, then that gives me strength to continue to strive to walk faithfully in the truth. You know, it daily requires much effort and grace to walk in the truth. Maybe some days it requires a little more strength and an effort for the temptations to become puffed up. The temptation to become puffed up, even proud of our ability to master the things we have before us, will be there. The myriads of translations of Bible study aids and such are all at the control of a computer desk. And we can even take some of them wherever we go, all at a touch of the hand. Now, I only mention that for your benefit. I don't have a computer. I don't take any discs with me. All I have is my notebook. But I'm sure that you do. Many of you do, and it's a blessing to you. The adversary can let our minds focus upon the letter of the word and not upon the spirit of the world. And that's, I think, one of our biggest problems in this very day, brethren. We don't let the spirit of the Lord dwell in our hearts. We must continue to put our trust in the Lord, and He has so graciously promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you, in Hebrews 13:5. Our Father will overrule all things for our highest welfare. Why so? Because we have been called according to His purposes, and we have accepted that call and are striving to make our calling and election sure. And as the year progresses, let us be determined to make ourselves worthy of that precious calling. Now, we know, dear brethren, that if we are faithful even unto death, that we will gain glory, honor, and immortality. And as we see the bride class coming less and less in numbers on this side of the veil, we must continue to strive to do those things that the Father desires of us. The prophet Isaiah, writing in the 61st chapter, states that each one of us has a commission. Sometimes we forget that we have a commission. That commission is to tell the good tidings of His word and the kingdom. And that is so true. I don't know how it is where you live and how the circumstances of your life is. But even more recently, I have found that if I go to the drugstore or to the hardware store or to the garage where I bought my car, if I go there, I have more and more occasion to speak of the Word of God, the plan of God with the people that I know. And it's such a pleasure to be able to tell them of the wonderful things that the Heavenly Father has in store for the human family. You know, surely as each day the human family sees trouble and experiences the heartache that is that they have at every turn. A few days ago, my eyes caught sight of some pictures in the Lawrence City newspaper. And this really disturbed me quite a lot. The section was entitled Trek of Tears. And maybe some of you may have seen it. It was a picture diary of a photographer who was recently sent to the Rwanda area of Africa. That area alone has lost nearly 1 million people in 3 years in struggling in the civil strife and war. You know, when families are suddenly uprooted by the civil problems, who suffers the most? The children, and who is wholly usually left behind. And this is the picture that I saw of these young children left behind with their parents being destroyed. The result, thousands of orphaned children with no place to go. Through sickness and the lack of homes and food, some lives, and some live and many die. And what this brought to my mind was the kingdom. Their salvation will not come until the kingdom. Now the photographer concluded the living children are starved for affection. And you could see it on their faces, even in a photograph. And somehow they managed a little smile when greeted by volunteer workers who have come to their aid. You know, I thought, oh, how we earnestly long and pray for that kingdom in which nothing will hurt nor destroy in all God's holy mountain. This is the message we want to give out, a message of hope, a message that speaks of peace and order, for the world is full of chaos and trouble. And this kingdom will fill the whole earth, even as the waters cover the sea. This blessed kingdom for which we pray will not admit blessings for some here and some there, while other parts of the earth suffer misery, hunger, pain, and dying. This is not what our Heavenly Father has promised since this long dark night of weeping. When this dark night of weeping is over, we appreciate that Heavenly Father has permitted, has planned that all should stop their sickness and dying. We proclaim liberty to the captives through and in that glorious kingdom. And when it is time for the glorified Christ's head and body to begin that work, there will be freedom from the prisons, house of death, and its possessors. When the judgments are in the earth, the people will learn righteousness. In Isaiah 26:9, the great work of restitution of restoration will be given to the human family. Now we see many things going on in the earth. If you can name me one place where there is restitution and restoration for the people in general, please let me know. You know, our obligation to our Heavenly Father and His Son is a very serious one. Brethren, consider Psalms, the 50th chapter, verses 16 and 17. What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instructions and castest out my word behind thee? And this is an alert. It's a situation that we do not want to be caught up in. We are instructed to weigh seriously our relationship with God, never taking His word nor His name lightly. We must realize that it is a special favor from God to declare His plans, His doctrines, and His instructions. Now, I don't know how you may, in your daily life, and you're walking, when you go to the store or someplace, I don't know how you greet people or how you begin a conversation with people. And, you know, it's quite easy. Even with the simple hello, how are you doing, or a simple handshake can begin a beautiful conversation, and you can give that person a message of hope and comfort, not knowing their situation, even just by that little act. In Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, 16th verse, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah's words were a warning that at times there would be false teachers. They will have the desire to declare the visions of their own heart, words that are the result of their own ideas and not the words of God. And we find that very much so in the world. The dialogue renders in 1 Timothy verse 1 says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. The dialogue renders the text as things that occasion disputes. And there is where we've got to be careful. When we speak to the people of the world, do not make your conversation one that would result in a dispute, but whether one should resolve in a kindly, gentle manner of encouragement and ensure them of the Word of God and the wonderful things that the Heavenly Father has in store. Yes, none of us has been given a special insight into His Word. And this is what bothered me, that some think that they have a special insight into the Word of God. And the ideas that might come up with, that they come up with should be addressed as such. Some ideas or visions of their own hearts and not coming from the Word of God. All those who truly have entered the narrow way want always to tell out the good tidings that we have been blessed to learn through the outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Each of us is held accountable for the measure of truth that has been given to us. Yeah, the Lord gave you His truth and revealed it to you, and you are accountable to it. You know, brethren, you may be bashful. Maybe you find it hard to start a conversation with somebody on a street. But if you really have a gentle heart, it's not hard at all. And you will find how beautiful it is to begin a conversation with somebody and begin to talk about the Word of God and have a good conversation, a good word of encouragement to any individual on the street or in the store or anywhere. Once we have proven through study and prayer what is truth, we must never neglect its principles or compromise its teachings. Brethren, we are instructed to keep our hearts and our minds filled with the truth, and just and filled with just and pure things. You know, we can put away discontent and confusion and be at peace if we continue to draw from the beautiful storehouse that our Heavenly Father has provided. So I asked you, what do you think? Does one have to know every intricate outworking of God's plans and purposes? I don't think so. But let each one of us weigh that matter in his own heart. We can be sure of this one thing, brethren. God will see that his plan is carried out according to his time and his good pleasure. We need no suggestions, and he, the Heavenly Father, needs no suggestions from us. He needs no other means of salvation. He is the Creator. He has designed a most beautiful plan, and it will be executed in justice and in his love. The very foundation of God's throne is justice, and the value of the precious blood of Christ satisfied the demands of that justice. And to those called in the one hope, there lies a deep appreciation of that gift of his only begotten Son, which will bring salvation to all, likewise in due time. In our family just recently, we have had several deaths, and they were young, and it's a very trying experience, very trying for our loved ones to be lost so young. But one thing we do, we have the privilege to give the hope. And, in our hope, there lies a deep appreciation of that gift of the only begotten Son, which will bring salvation to all, likewise in his due time. We are instructed to put a watch upon our thoughts and our wills, that the transforming work that has begun in us may reach its full fruition. If we have been begotten by the truth to new hopes and new ambitions and new course of life, we must daily strive to keep the old mind and the flesh under. And that's not an easy task. I don't care who you are, male, female, adult, child. It's not an easy task for you to keep all these things in the proper order. You know, we have been in a school of Christ learning to rightly divide the word of truth. And we ought to give the more earnest heed, lest we let these things slip. That's in Hebrews 2:1. Truly our Heavenly Father will uphold and shield all those who have the heart desire to abide under his care. Now, he doesn't force one to remain in this hallowed condition. No, it's up to you, individual matter. No, the choice remains with each of us. And I often think sometime of Joshua and his stand for God. I don't know how familiar you are with Joshua and his life, but even though he lived long before the narrow way was opened, and he stood firm in his love and service to God, and as he drew to the close of his life, he related to the people the ways of God and led them. He reminded them they were in a covenant relationship with God, and that's what you are. You're in a covenant relationship with God, and how are you abiding in that covenant? How are you upholding the word of God, which you have made a covenant with. He reminded them how God had answered their cries and delivered them out of the land of Egypt. He delivered them from their enemies and now had brought them into the promised land. And in the 24th chapter of Joshua, we read, I have given you a land for which you did no labor. I have given you vineyards and olive yards, which you did not plant, but you eat of them. So therefore, reverence the Lord, brethren, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served in Egypt, and serve him, serve ye the Lord. If it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve. And by choosing, it's simply making, you're making a decision of who you're going to serve. Will it be the gods which your father served, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now the counsel of Joshua was reverently received, and the people urged themselves from the worship of idols, and thus so doing, they were blessed. Is there an example in this narrative for the consecrated child of God in this day in which we live? Yes, dear brethren, I believe there is. As we strive to be Israelites indeed, we can see the need for a wholehearted and sincere service to God. There must be a complete reliance upon God and putting away all idols, all things which come to our in our time and draw us away from our devotion to him. If we want to remain in covenant relationship with him. Well, you might say to yourself, well, Brother Balco, I don't have any idols. I think maybe you'll give it another thought. You don't think you have any other idols. But if you examine your life carefully, and which things take precedent in your life, which things are most overwhelming to you, which things do you listen to do most in respect to the Word of God, which one comes first? So if you begin to compare the Word of God with the things that you do daily, this will distinguish whether you have any idols or not. You know, there's an example of this narrative for God's greater child of God in this very day in which we live. We strive to be Israelites indeed. We can see the need for a wholehearted and sincere service to God. There must be a complete reliance upon God and a putting away of all idols, all things which would consume our time and draw us away from our devotion to him. We want to remain in covenant relation with him. With fixed purpose, we should desire to pay our vows to the Most High. The expression of the heart should always be, the Lord our God, we will serve him. We never want to place ourselves in any unfavorable condition, on any condition which would be influenced by unsavory circumstances and trivial flatters, matters that would not profit the development of a new creature. The words are found, and I did eat them. You have found the word of God. Are you eating it? When you eat the word of God, you are satisfying your future. You are satisfying the new creation. You are satisfying your way of walk. That's in Jeremiah, the 15th chapter, 16th verse. And so, dear brethren, in closing, let our hearts rejoice. Let our tongues appreciate his goodness. Let his words correct, instruct, and thoroughly furnish us into all good works. Let us faithfully endeavor to serve him in the coming days. And one of the biggest help that I have. This is my own personal way that I, when I meet somebody on the street and go in a store, I look for the opportunities. I listen to the words that one speaks. And I use, and I take them words and the attitude to proclaim the gospel message in this dark and evil day. To tell others of the wonderful kingdom that God has in store for the human family. And you know, once you start that, you will increase. And you will find a blessing. And you will do it more and more. And you will find a great joy in proclaiming the wonderful truth in this present evil, evil world. Dear brethren, let us faithfully endeavor to serve our Heavenly Father in the coming days. Always remember, dear brethren, He is never too busy nor too weary of our coming to Him in prayer and in thanksgiving. And all you have to do is pray to the Heavenly Father and ask Him for guidance and strength to help you. And you know, once you begin to know how to start a conversation to your neighbors or whoever, you're in a store or whatever, and take advantage of these situations, you'll be surprised how often you will have that experience and how joyful it will be. And so is my prayer for each one of you, dear brethren, that the Lord continue to bless you and keep you in His precious truth and watch over you that you may abide with Him forever. Amen.